Heavenly Father, you do make many great promises in your word. We pray that this morning you will give us to trust the promises that you have made for us in Psalm 91, and that it will give us the kind of security and comfort that it should. Amen. Well, as Melvin said, we're now 1 week into the new year. And I guess as we kind of shake ourselves out of that holiday mode that many of us are in, now is the time when we start to look to the year ahead. 2017 is stretched out before us. What do you see on the road ahead? As far as you can see what this year has in store for you, what do you expect there to be in 2017? And I guess particularly, is there anything on the horizon that you are nervous about? I know that for a number of people, 2017 will see some big changes. And there are others who are expecting significant challenges in the year ahead. Of course, there'll be many of us who won't be expecting any big changes this year, but a new year does always bring challenges, doesn't it? Now, some of us maybe relish the opportunity that challenges present for us, while others, I know, perhaps the prospect of the challenges of the year ahead produce anxiety and fear. Now, I don't know where you sit on that spectrum, but wherever you do sit on that spectrum, as we anticipate this year ahead, and particularly today as we look at this Psalm 91 together, I want us, as Melvin said, to be asking the question, where do I look for security in life? In the face of challenges, in the face of uncertainties, and even very real difficulties, where do I look for security? That's the question that Psalm 91 encourages us to ask. And you might have noticed as it was being read, it gives us some great promises, doesn't it? Have a look at verse 1 again with me. I don't know about you, but as I read this verse, it has a really powerful and inspiring ring to it, don't you think? Have a listen as I read it. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. That's a great verse, isn't it? I know I've said this before, but it kind of reminds me. I can imagine this verse being engraved on a plaque and hanging over the door frame of someone's house. It speaks of the great confidence that the person who trusts in God can have in God's protection. A plaque like this hanging over your front door is like saying, this house stands under the protection of God. It's a bold and confident statement. And that first verse is like the heading of the rest of the psalm because it continues in the same way. This psalm is full of bold promises about God's protection. Have a listen to some of the promises that this psalm contains for those who seek refuge in God. Verse 10 says, no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent. Verse 3, he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. Verse 7, 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. Verse 11 and 12, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Or verse 14, I will rescue him, says God. I will protect him. And that's just a sample of the kind of promises that this psalm has for those who trust God. These are big promises, ones that should make us radiate confidence and rest securely, knowing that we are safe in God's hands for all of life. But does it? Do you believe these promises? I have to admit, my temptation when I read parts of the Bible like this psalm is to jump straight to the "yeah, but" response. The response that says, okay, yeah, I get that, but what about... Do you know what I'm talking about? I hear the promise, but then I find myself thinking, what about those times when it seems like that's not what happens? When I feel like I haven't been sheltered and protected by God. I wonder if you're the same when you read this psalm. You immediately want to ask about the exceptions. What does this psalm really mean when we're faced with the stark reality of people who do trust God experiencing bad things? Where is God's protection then? Surely that's a question we have, right? Apart from personal examples, I think of Job in the Bible. You know, Job is probably the ultimate example of someone who trusts God experiencing bad things. Almost every kind of bad thing imaginable happens to Job. So imagine Job sifting through the pile of rubble that was once his house, the house that had collapsed and killed his children. Imagine him sifting through that pile of rubble and finding the plaque that was once hanging over the doorframe of his house, of Psalm 91, verse 1, that he had engraved. Sentiment that he had once so confidently asserted, now lying among the shattered remains of his broken life. What's Job meant to think of that? Now, our experience might not be quite the same as Job's, but that's still a question that we have, right? When we read the amazing promises of God's protection in this psalm. And it's an important question. It's one that we need to ask. But it shouldn't be the first question that we ask when we read this psalm. Psalm 91 is a promise from God. And so the first thing we must do is to make sure that we hear this promise. And the first question that I need to ask is of myself. Am I going to believe this promise? Am I going to trust this promise? Or am I going to so water it down and explain it away with exceptions and qualifications that it ends up meaning really very little to me? Over the past 6 months or so, I've been reading this little devotional book, daily devotional book. It was written more than 100 years ago by the great Baptist preacher Charles Spurgeon. It's called The Checkbook of the Bank of Faith. Has anyone heard of that? The Checkbook of the Bank of Faith. The idea of the book is quite simple. It encourages us to see the promises of God in the Bible as checks that God has written and signed with his own hand. And for every day of the year, it quotes a different promise of God from the Bible, and it asks us the question, am I going to take this check to the bank? Am I going to cash this check of God's promise? Or am I just going to leave it in my wallet, uncashed, unclaimed, and really worth nothing more than the paper it's written on? Let's not be like that with this promise of the psalm. Let's take this check to the bank and draw on it for all it's worth. This psalm is an open invitation from God to claim the confidence and the security and the comfort that God provides for all who trust him. It's a glorious promise that we do well to take hold of. Yes, of course, we need to understand this psalm correctly and not claim something that it's not offering. You may know that this psalm is most famously quoted on the lips of Satan. That sounds like a warning for us, doesn't it? While Satan is trying to derail Jesus from his mission, trying to get him to disobey God and falsely claim what this psalm is not promising at all. And so we will come to that. But as we begin, let's make sure that we don't leave the promise itself behind, that we don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. Let's commit at the beginning to claiming the amazing promises of this psalm for all it's worth. Well, as I said, the big question of this psalm is to make us ask, where do I look for security in life? What is it that gives me comfort? What is it that makes me feel secure against all the uncertainties and insecurities that are just part of life? The security that this psalm speaks of is tangible, and it's personal. It's something that we should be conscious of on a daily basis. For me, one of the things that comes to mind when I think of securing against uncertainties is insurance. And maybe that's just because I'm boring, but that's what comes to my mind. And that's exactly what insurance is about, right? It's about guarding us against bad things that might happen in the future. So if your car gets stolen or you have a car crash, insurance will cover that. Or if your house gets broken into, insurance will cover that. Or if you get sick, health insurance is meant to cover your medical expenses. I don't know if you've ever driven a car while it's not insured, but you don't feel very secure, or at least I don't. I remember one time years ago I was going on a surfing trip up the coast with a friend, and we were going in his car, but I was driving. And we weren't that far into the trip when he said to me, "By the way, don't crash, because we're not insured at all. Thanks for telling me that now." Insurance is meant to give us that feeling of security, a sense of security, but it's not very personal, is it? I mean, right now, I don't even know what company I'm insured with. I've got the policy at home somewhere in a filing cabinet sitting there, but right now, I don't know who I'm insured with. To me, who I'm insured with is not important until I have to make a claim or pay a premium. Insurance is like a safety net that sits in the background until I need it, but until then, I don't really think about it. But the security of this psalm is not an insurance policy kind of security. It's much more personal than that. It's a reality that you're aware of daily. Not an insurance policy that you keep in a filing cabinet just in case. It's like, it says, the security of living in a fortress compared to living in a tent. Have a look at verse 2. "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." If you don't have insurance, the strength of your house is pretty important, isn't it? This week I wanted to introduce my kids to camping. They've been asking me about it for a while, and so I finally decided to do it. But we went for the bold step of pitching a tent and spending the night in the backyard. Not exactly roughing it, 5 metres from the back door of the house, but they had fun. It was a good night. And when you're in a tent, you really notice that there is not much between you and the world outside, don't you? A tent is not exactly the symbol of security. But a fortress, on the other hand, that's the very definition of security. And not an insurance policy kind of security. It's much more tangible than that. So if you live in a fortress in the mountains, you have a very real and tangible experience every day of the kind of security that surrounds you. I mean, you've only got to look at the solid stone walls and the heavy oak door. No intruders are getting in there. You are safe and secure. That's the very real and tangible security that this psalm invites us to take hold of, to take comfort and refuge in. God is my refuge and my fortress. Another image that this psalm paints even more clearly, perhaps, is that of baby birds, little chicks, nestling under the secure wing of a protective mother or father bird. Have a look at verse 4. "He will cover you with his feathers. Under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and your rampart." You've seen, haven't you, the little chicks kind of peeking out from between the feathers of a protective mother hen. those cute and pretty much helpless little balls of fluff. You've heard their little cheeps. They are content and secure. They know the peace that exists under that wing. When the mother spreads her strong and protective wing over them, it doesn't matter what's going on in the world out there. They are safe. Nothing can hurt them. Not the fowler's snare, it says in verse 3. The trap for catching birds is not going to get them. Not even the arrow that flies by day, verse 5. For that baby bird, all that matters in the world, all that matters is where they are. They are safe under that protective wing. Storms could be raging all around them, but under that wing they are safe and dry. Under that wing there is comfort and security. There is peace. And again, that's a very tangible image of security, isn't it? This is no insurance policy kind of security. It's a security that has a very real impact on your life. And this psalm is making us ask the question, where do I look for that kind of security? It's not just saying, do I have Jesus as my insurance policy? Have I ticked the box that says, yes, I trust and follow Jesus, and I folded that nicely and put it in a filing cabinet somewhere for a rainy day, just in case? That's not what it's saying. It's saying, where do you live? Where do you make your bed at night? Where do you get up in the morning? Do you live in the fortress of God? Do you sleep every night under the protective wing of his care? Do you get that sense that there is an everydayness about this? And a real personal intimacy. Verse 14 and 15 describes the kind of person who takes their refuge in God. Describes them as someone who loves God. Someone who knows God. Someone who calls on God, and God answers them. Are you throwing yourself into that kind of relationship with God? Surely a big part of this has got to be prayer, right? I've heard it said that the sure way to tighten the screws of guilt in people is to ask them how their prayer life is going. It's not my intention to induce guilt. This is not laying an obligation on us. It's inviting us to enjoy the peace and security and comfort of living under that protective wing of God's care, of a Father who loves us. It's inviting us to turn off the TV or the computer, to put down the device, and spend good time talking to our Father, to our God who loves you and who cares for you. Try it today. Talk to him about your concerns, your worries, your fears, those things that perhaps you see in the year ahead, or perhaps even in the week ahead, that you just don't know how they will turn out. Build your home in the fortress of God. Take shelter under his protective wing. And I guess the other side of this is where I should not look for security. Those things that make us insecure, the things that this psalm talks about, the plagues, the arrows, the darkness, the traps, they are very real things in life. And there will always be temptation to seek security in other things. Things that do really seem very tangible and safe and secure. But it's not where God wants us to find our security. The Bible talks about seeking refuge in idols. And in the Old Testament of the Bible, idols were very tangible. You could literally see and touch them because they were made of wood and stone and metal. And it can be the same with our idols, can't it? With money. That's tangible. I can do stuff with that. With material possessions. and even with family, with surrounding myself with those people who make me feel secure. They can seem so much more tangible than finding security in God. Do I take comfort in knowing that the bank balance is healthy and secure? Or that my job is secure? Or that I am surrounded by people who love me, who will be there for me? Is that what really matters to me? Is that what helps me to sleep well at night? Or perhaps what stops me from sleeping well some nights? I wonder whether we don't quite know, don't really know the security and comfort that this psalm offers of God's protective wing as well as we might, because we're just not really looking for it. We're living next door to God's fortress, maybe visiting every now and then, but we haven't built our house there. We don't live there. And I'm speaking of myself here as much as anyone else. We want God, but really our real comfort is in other things. That's where we look for and try to find security. But this psalm tells us, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Well, we should come back now to that question, that what about question that I raised at the beginning. Will God always protect me? Really? What about those times when people who do genuinely seem to trust God don't seem to experience the kind of protection that this psalm speaks of? I mean, I can testify, and I'm sure many of you can too, to times when I have seen God's hand at work, providing and protecting me in miraculous ways, in all kinds of things, physically and materially and relationally. And I praise and thank God for that. But I can also think of times, and I'm sure you could too, when it seemed the opposite for you or for someone else, when it seemed like God's protection just wasn't really there. What does this psalm say to that? I was reading an article this week about this psalm, and the title of the article was, "Your Executioner May Laugh at You for Quoting Psalm 91. That about sums it up, doesn't it? If your head is on the chopping block, quoting this psalm, it's going to sound pretty silly, doesn't it? What do we say to that? Well, as I hinted earlier, I think our greatest caution, at least, must be to not use this psalm the way that Satan used it. That sounds like good advice, doesn't it? It's like the opposite of what would Jesus do wristbands. Don't do what Satan would do. Satan tried to convince Jesus that God's plan for his life was no suffering. If God is for you, he said, you can throw yourself off a building and he'll look after you. And he quotes this very psalm. He will command his angels concerning you so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. He read those words to Jesus. There are angels there to protect you, Jesus. Just call on them. We know that Jesus didn't fall for that temptation. But we also know that that wasn't the biggest temptation that Jesus faced. That came later, in the Garden of Gethsemane, the night before he died, when Jesus was genuinely overwhelmed by the suffering that he knew lay before him. That was when Jesus himself was reminded that he does have a legion of angels literally at his beck and call. There are angels there to protect you, Jesus. But he also knew that that wasn't God's plan for him. It was God's will for him to suffer and even to die. And it looked, for all who were there to see, like God had abandoned Jesus. But we know, don't we, that that was not the end. For Jesus, the words of verse 16 in this psalm did come true through suffering and death, where it says, "With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." See, even in death, God did not abandon him. And our confidence is that we know it's the same for us. God's protection and suffering are not two completely different things. In fact, sometimes God's protection comes through suffering. I think we need to understand that there are two realities that this psalm can describe. The first one is that God does miraculously preserve and protect people in the face of all kinds of difficulties and dangers. He does that. And we should know that with confidence. And we should pray for that often. And that should give us that great peace and security in the face of uncertainty and fear. But the second truth of Psalm 91 is that sometimes it is God's will for his people to suffer, but that he will not allow that suffering to ultimately hurt us in the end. Whatever happens to us, even in suffering and even death, God is working all things for good for those who love him. That's a promise that we are called to take hold of. And again, it's meant to give us confidence and security even in the face of difficulties. Well, I started off this morning speaking about Charles Spurgeon. I'm going to finish that way too. I'm going to read a quote from his. It's longish. The language is a bit old, but hopefully you can get the sense of it. Have a listen. He says, "It is impossible that any ill should happen to the man who is beloved of the Lord. The most crushing calamities can only shorten his journey and hasten him to his reward. Ill to him is not ill, but only good in a mysterious form. Losses enrich him. Sickness is his medicine. Reproach is his honour. Death is his gain. No evil, in the strictest sense of the word, can happen to him, for everything is overruled for good. Happy is he who is in such a case. He is secure where others are in peril. He lives where others die." Let's pray that this will be our security. Gracious Heavenly Father, this is a great promise that you give us in this psalm. Please help us to believe it. Help us to trust it. Help us to take this check to the bank and to rest securely, knowing that you care for us. Father, help us to be people who do live in the shelter of your wing, who do make our bed in your fortress. Father, may that give us great confidence, even when we face overwhelming odds, even when we face all kinds of dangers and insecurities, knowing that you care for us and we will see your salvation. Amen.